Hello, ladies and gentlemen, again here in the bowels of Odd Camp, and can you stand over here? I'm talking to JWP, one of our own hosts, and you've just come out of a talk given by yourself called...
It's about Oracle Linux.
So how did that go down?
It went pretty well. I stuttered a lot, and so it's... I don't know if it was really good or not, but we had a lot of questions, and there were some Red Hat people there that really like Red Hat, and lots of interaction with the Oracle hate and everything.
Well, that's, I'm looking forward to seeing the talks, because I'm down here, I'm not getting to see any of the talks at all, so, but they will be available on a separate feed.
Okay. Ken, you should really talk about this. This is a really interesting device.
Yeah, you're diverting the attention from yourself. So what topics did you cover in the interview?
Say one more time.
What did you cover in the talk?
Well, about, you know, is it evil? Did they break the GPL? Where are they going to go in 3 years? Will it really matter about any kind of database in 5 years? Things like that.
Cool. We'll probably tag on the talk to the end of this episode.
Oh, okay. Great.
Alrighty.
Hey,
enjoy the show.
Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm John, and I'm here to kind of talk about the Oracle Linux. You know, we've all heard the evil thing that's come out. You know, if you listen to the podcast, it's quite evil, everything that Oracle does. But actually, it wasn't such an evil move if you really look at it. Why did it? So what is it really? It's exactly like you heard on the podcast. It's just a copy of Red Hat. In the moment, the reason that they did it was Oracle owns an 85% share of the Unix database environment on proprietary Unix system, RISC, AIX, HPUX, Sun Solaris. They're the database of choice. And it's no different on Linux with Red Hat or Novell, whatever they call it, Attachmate now, with SLED. It's still 85%, so even though they went to x86 and did a migration, there was a guy with a Hilti bag running around here. Hilti did a great migration. Took them about 3 years to get the payoff from the migration from the proprietary Unix, though. And the other reason they did it was because now they bought Sun. So Sun sells x86 servers, so they control the whole stack. Right, so they get the whole support money, right? And, oh, by the way, because they didn't have to develop, they can give support for 50% less than that half, right? But you have to buy the whole thing from them, right? They're not, later as we talk, you'll see that they don't do, if you only want part of it, they're not really interested. They want it all or nothing. In the enterprise space, especially with ERP and SAP and to a certain extent PeopleSoft, they're going to beat Red Hat. For sure they're going to beat SLES. It's, you know, they're cheaper. With that unbreakable kernel on the application side, they get 60% better benchmark performance so than the standard Red Hat kernel. So it's not really the only thing with that, as I said, it's unbreakable, but when we benchmark it in my workplace, it crashes a lot. So you have to have a bunch of them, right, to keep it going. Oracle also brings a lot to the table that in the moment that Red Hat and I'll just say SUSE, now that I've found the right word, SUSE don't have. They have ASM, their storage manager. They have Oracle Data Guard that goes out and protects, makes a copy of the database over a long distance. And currently the cluster inside the Red Hat is just not enough references. And for enterprise people, you know, if you have 500 people working on your environment and you have a database of it can't be down because you're paying those people, you know, whatever hourly that personnel cost is, plus whatever the customers lose. So it can't be down at all, especially your supply chain management system. It just can't be. And so it's going to be probably, when I talked to Red Hat, they said it probably in 2 or 3 years, this problem will go away. And it's more or less about references. Like Hilti is their reference that they do use when they usually visit people in Europe. Where Oracle is going to have some real trouble with this is that more and more companies are making strategic decisions about their technology, right? Like, for instance, who their storage provider is going to be, who their outsourcing partner is going to be. They make that choice up front, right? We're going to have Red Hat, right? Or we're going to have EMC or NetApp or HP or IBM storage. And that's what we're going to use moving forward for the next 6 years. And when customers have made that choice, Oracle doesn't win. They don't have the choice, after that. But in all other cases where there's a Unix and a database and a migration, Oracle is quite strong. As an example of this mix that I was talking about, well, you sell your SAP server, and when you sell it, and you say, well, Oracle's support is 50% cheaper than Red Hat, but it's only supported if you buy the database and the clustering software, right? Because they won't support Oracle Linux on the application server. So almost every customer that I sold to over the last 3 or 4 years, they buy cheap Intel or AMD boxes and scale it now. So they won't pay $500,000 for a proprietary Unix system anymore. They'll buy a bunch of little blades and do it that way. Or two or three really big eight socket Intel boxes and do it that way. But for sure, they're not going to give you $1.2 million for application server. That's just not going to happen. And so Oracle won't support that. So Red Hat has the chance, and Novell has the chance to sell the low-hanging fruit, more or less, and get into the customer that way with that. Oracle, on the positive side, Oracle's done a lot of work with Xen. They're a virtual machine that they sell in the enterprise space. So they paid the Linux Foundation some money to put the hooks back in to the kernel for Xen. Somehow their Oracle VM and when we ran the bench test is much faster than VMware, much faster than almost anything else that we've ever seen. So it's really, really tuned. And I have to add that Oracle will send people to your place and help you set up all that if you want to do that. So they're real interested in being fastest. Of course, there's a lot of restrictions. When I say the restrictions, they have that great benchmark, and if you buy their Linux and have their database, and you can use their virtualization technology. But if you want to use their database with VMware or Xen, just playing from another provider, get your support from someplace else, or KVM, it's draconian what they make you go through. Right, the support steps, and it's just that you can't install it, you can't do anything, it's just not supported. They've acted sort of evil with the Linux space, and they're not interested in the desktop space at all. That's they gave away the open office thing. We all heard about that. That was sort of poorly handled with the open office. They've been pretty hard with Google with the Java thing and the Android. I don't know if y'all read about that. That was pretty stressful. What's going to happen? I have an entourage, an EE on one side and an Android tablet on the other side that runs Android. And I was quite concerned when they did the Java announcement, MySQL. Lots of people use that on the web now, and that's all owned by them now. So it's really, really stressful. For my company, they declared our HPUX non-supportable anymore, right? So all of our, 20,000 HPUX Oracle database customers have to move now to a new solution. I just arbitrarily killed that, right? And the only real space where it's been really interesting is that with SAP, most of the mid-level managers in Germany there that are doing project development there, learned when they went to school, they used SUSE. And so that's the development environment there. And so all the Linux appliances, their business intelligence, this new HANA thing that they're doing, all of the appliance structures from there, it only runs on the Nobel product. As I said before, Red Hat in the moment is really struggling with the cluster. In January, they brought out new cluster software, and it's finally a 3-disk set where you put it into the server so your integrator can 1, 2, 3 put it in with no trouble. But at the same time, Red Hat has a problem that, people, they'll buy 2 or 3 support licenses on minimal support from them, but then they have 20 servers that run the Red Hat on it. So it's not you can't get a full representation of how many exactly SUSE and Novell have, because it's very easy to clone the application server. And so if there is a problem, they call up the vendor and say, hey, I got this problem. And that's another problem that if you're a customer and you have a storage vendor and a server vendor and a operating systems vendor and a database vendor and the guy that's doing backup software, and something goes wrong, you get a lot of this, right? And so it's with Oracle, they say, well, we sold you the server, we sold you the database, we sold you the high availability stuff, everything's good, we'll make it right. But if you mix it, it's quite hard, and there's a lot of finger pointing there. So how did the market react, right? What were the initial market reactions, right? How did they do it, right? Well, okay, so the big humongous thing that is HP got scared because their whole infrastructure has a 5-year shelf life now. And so what happened? The CEO of the company, he's from SAP, so Leo's there, and Leo called SAP, I guess, and SAP bought Sybase. And Sybase has a database company. They're not really exciting, but they had some in-memory technology that's pretty fantastic. And it only runs on Linux, as far as I know. Right? There won't be any Microsoft, any kind of anything else. And their mobility products, for the phones, has an in-phone database, and I don't know if you've seen this thing yet. It's a touchpad. It's a Palm OS. Well, that's Linux too, right? And so there's going to be an interface. So if you're out selling, you're a beer salesman. Everybody drinks beer here. You're a beer salesman. He pulled up in his truck. I live in Germany. He pulls up in the truck and he comes out and he has a little pad. I buy beer, right? Comes in. Well, that automatically goes into the ERP system now, and they know exactly what kind of beer that is on Tiefenthalstrassen is needed. And he'll only have that beer in his truck next time, not beer for everybody. And so that's what these are going to do. You always see these tablets. Well, they're really going to come. And now your doctor, well, he's going to have one of these too, right? It's all going to be on one of those. It's not going to be, this paper thing that's just there anymore at the doctor's office because you've been going to the guy for 4 years. He's going to have one of those for you, right? And flip. Maybe even you'll have a chip that runs Linux and you give it to the hospital when you go by the hospital. I've got no idea. But so in response, SAP is going to have this in-memory database technology. So in 3 to 4 years, we won't even think about it. What people will be saying is, memory is much faster, I'm running it inside the machine, and I'm running Linux, so it's not going to cost me any money. And so I really don't know what the future is. It's really as clear as mud on this. And it changes radically from month to month. If you read the support notes that come from all three companies on what they support and how this is going to happen, what they're doing, it's I've never seen it. It's like, almost like, you know, some kind of mutation movie. All right, well, that pretty much does it for me. I've got about 11 minutes left, I didn't think I'd take the whole 30 minutes. Has anybody got anything? Oh, no. One guy. Thank God.
So you mentioned, obviously, it's possible to purchase Red Hat support from Oracle. How do Oracle adequately provide support for something that they haven't really developed?
It's a wonderful thing called India. All right.
Okay.
So Oracle has one of the biggest support structures in the world. So it's real easy. They hire people. They look for that Red Hat certification. They hire you. You get on the phone. You go out. And that's a real problem that Red Hat has, actually, right? Try selling Red Hat in Israel or Saudi Arabia or Kuwait. I work in EMEA, so I have all those places. And, I always have to say, you better call up, Red Hat or Novell or whoever you're buying your stuff from and be sure they got somebody here, that can come out and help you. And they're like, well, don't you as a hardware vendor have somebody? And I'm like, it's only up to level two. So level three support comes from the Linux vendor.
But in terms of, let's say I have a problem with my Oracle system. I phone up and say, okay, there's a bug in this particular piece of software that you ship. How does that bug make it through the Oracle system and then end up as a fix for my particular server? Do they have any developers or are they just...
Yeah, they'll fix it. They'll send somebody to your place, they'll look at the problem and they'll fix it.
They'll send somebody out to my place to fix the problem.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
For an extortionate fee, presumably.
It is. Yeah. Well, right. I mean, once you look at that support contract, right?
But how does that fix then make it back into... Every other customer.
Nothing.
So I'll end up running a bespoke version of Oracle Linux
exactly.
My system.
So in other words, it won't go back into the community.
Right. I work in finance, so that wouldn't really fly in my environment.
It wouldn't work. It might make it back into the Oracle tree.
Yeah.
Right. But as far as I'm giving it back, I don't think they're going to do that. Maybe they're doing patches. I don't know. I haven't seen anything.
Sure.
Really. But it's interesting.
Because I spoke to Oracle shortly after AI was released, and there was no real roadmap or any communication between them and Red Hat and stuff. So would you say that Oracle and Red Hat have diverged and are going to continue diverging until?
Well, they're talking about a fork of the, that they were going to have their own fork. But then, I read the note from SAP that Oracle's going to have a 6.0 clone coming out, in 2 or 3 weeks. So they might even beat Red Hat to certification of the clone, right? And of course with the certification inside the ERP space, Oracle controls that because they have the database. So it's quite interesting. Anybody got anything else?
Yeah, with the patching thing, it's interesting actually because.
I'm sorry, sir.
With the patching issue?
Yeah.
This guy was talking about, because I think like him, I work in finance. And when Oracle came in to us, we had Oracle, Red Hat, and some other monkey coming in to try and, we were looking at how much stuff would cost. We got Red Hat everywhere, we got thousands of servers. And Oracle seemed to think that this whole, oh, if you have a problem with that, just come in and patch it, they seemed to think that's a brilliant one. And we were like, buddy, it's the best sound here. Because I'm not interested in that. It sounds good. You come in and say, oh yeah, we can patch that, fix a few in my bit of the SLA, so it's 40 hours, 72 hours, whatever. But we're like, yeah, but we need this stuff to be globally consistent. We don't want to have a golden tree in our bank. We should have to distribute out globally. There's no way in God's earth we're doing that. You need to do something about that. But the way you're talking about doing it, there's no way that can be achieved unless you have a golden tree for bank XYZ. Which they took it kind of on board, we could do that, blah, 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 blah. that's the only way this will work. Like we don't, from a bank point of view, we don't really care at all. If it goes back to the community, that's our trouble, but it's true. But we do care is that the bank itself around the world has the same.
Right. I saw a hand.
Yeah, so you mentioned undercutting Red Hat by 50% in typical deal. Full disclosure, I should mention I work for Red Hat. One of the things that Red Hat's executives have constantly said to the market is that they've taken an industry worth $10 billion and reduced it to one worth this year, $1 million. That's the way that they deliver value to CTOs by lowering the cost of producing and supporting the operating system. So one of the things I really wonder with Oracle is, as far as a long-term plan goes, if the aim is to undercut, how is that then sustainable? You can reduce, and we all in this room probably understand that open source can do more with less by engaging the power of the community, but there's a limit on that. It seems that currently Oracle is in a position to subsidize the Linux division from the database division, and that's something we hear from the field, buy the database, have the OS for free. How is that long-term sustainable, and where does it leave the community in 10 years, 15 years' time? What's to stop a vendor in a position to do that, owning the market, and then increasing prices on everybody once they've achieved that dominant position?
The profit on the database is 90%. Right, and they've had the technology for years and years, and so that's a big cash thing, right? And so they bring you in, they don't want to talk to anybody. So Red Hat, for instance, they don't want to talk to you. And so they take your free stuff, and they say, I got the whole stack from the hardware, you know, all the way up, right? And if I'm doing it at cost, that's a fantastic thing for me, right? I'll break even on it. Right, and if I'm causing you grief because of it, that's even better. And if I piss everyone in the world off doing it, that's even better, right? Because the only more people more arrogant when you talk to them than an Oracle sales rep is a guy from IBM that's pushing Power 7, right? So you know, if you get those two in the same room, my God, right? But the it really only works if they buy the whole thing, right? If they don't buy the whole thing, I mean, if they don't buy it, the whole stack, they don't say, okay, I'm gonna have the Oracle database, you know, then Oracle won't care. They're not gonna sell Linux. They don't care what you run your Apache on.
Right, you say that, but when we were having these discussions with our systems, none of them are at all here. So they were using their vertical thing as a gateway in, as a mechanism of getting into the bank. So if they take over support from Red Hat, which is what they were proposing at the time, they didn't gain anything out of it up front, because we bought all the Oracle, we bought the site that you care about, we bought all the Red Hat, so we were in a position where everything was basically, you know, we have a thing we need, so they have a zero-sum game for them up front.
Right.
They're being sensible, and it seems like they have logical sense.
For the support,
yeah. Possibly. And further down as well, so when you have to find more updates or get later, so they you know, get that revenue through that. Well, but it seemed a bit odd.
It's also a buy-in, right? It's also a buy-in. If you buy their Red Hat, you're also probably going to buy their hypervisor product, right? And then you're taking the money from VMware. And I mean, I know Zen is a great thing, but or not Zen, KVM is a fantastic thing. Great benchmark. Fantastic. Cisco did a fantastic benchmark with them the other day. If you can take anything, if you could take 10% from VMware, it's worth the effort. It's the complete picture. They took Mark Hurd away from us, and he's definitely had several magazine articles that said he wanted it all, well, now Oracle wants it all too. You know, I just wish they were interested in the desktop. If they were interested in the desktop, think about how great that could be.
I mean, they could buy Canonical.
Yeah, I mean, we actually said, you know, we had coffee the other day and said they should buy Red. Yeah.
Isn't Zen owned by Citrix though? Or Oracle bought that as well recently and I've missed it.
The packaging, it's a derivative, correct me if I'm wrong, of the EL5 Red Hat Zen.
So it's a downstream of an
downstream.
Yeah. So they went to the Linux Foundation and gave it Linux kernel people.
But it's not your product. You're using someone else's.
Yeah, they're using the open source product. Okay. The Zen is open source and they have their own management tools. So the management suite is their own.
So if there's problems with that, do you back it back up to Citrix as well?
No.
So you have basically your own fork of that as well.
Exactly.
I missed the earlier part of your talk. Perhaps this will cover. But how significant was the announcement by Red Hat that they weren't going to be packaging up the kernel, their kernel patches? So was that announcement? I may have got the terminology
wrong. In return, Oracle said that they weren't going to certify Red Hat 6.0 with FTP.
Is that a healthy ecosystem for customers? It's one of the other things we hear at Red Hat is we don't want vendor lock-in. We don't want homogenous systems.
Hey guys, thank you very much for your time. I hope I wasn't too boring. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever consider recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.